Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
In John chapter 21, and I'll just apologize to you for having to see my fat body, but I'm going to take this coat off. It's just too hot. John chapter 21, you're familiar if you've been in church for a while with this passage. My Bible says Jesus reinstates Peter. I think it's much bigger than that. And that's what I'm going to kind of unpackage today, because I believe that what Jesus' encounter with Peter is all of our encounter. Verse number 15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Our third attribute in the Christian life may be the very most important. There we go. Loving. We talked about giving. Giving's important. What was last week? No, that was 2 weeks ago. Freedom. We are a free people. Amen? Even those that are in communist countries and the government wants nothing to do with the Bible or God or anything, those who know the Lord Jesus walk free. Hallelujah. That's the kind of freedom that you can have in the Lord. This third attribute of loving, I think, is, well, next to the heart of God. Everybody has their own definition of love. There are different nuances. I've been kind of pondering of late, because you hear the world speak of love, and what I'm hearing in their expressions of love, they are actually using the term love in order, much like a crowbar, if you will, to try and change our society. Today's marketplace, love is feeling, acceptance, and tolerance. That's the love that the world is preaching. I kind of was looking up in different places some of the reactions or statements of love. For instance, Nancy Reagan says love means giving oneself to another person fully, not physically, or not just physically. Emily Dickens, a long time ago, said, is there more than love and death? Isadora Duncan in 1929 said, so long as little children are allowed to suffer, there is no true love in the world. I disagree. That's a worldly statement. There is love in the world if Jesus is accepted. That's right. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, love, which is the essence of God, is not for levity, but for the total worth of man. Robert Frost says, love is an irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired. It's a good turn of words. Robert Lippmann said, the emotion of love, in spite of romantics, is not self-sustaining. It endures only when the lovers love many things together and not merely each other. That's an interesting one. That's a pretty good marriage statement. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, at a women's convention in 1860, made this statement. She says, love is the vital essence that pervades and permeates. from the center to the circumference, the graduating circles of all thought and action. Love is the talisman of human weal and woe, the open sesame to every human soul. Our text today expresses the only question to which God is bound or willing to be bound, and we are compelled to respond. It is an everlasting question. Simply this: do you love me? I believe that's the question that rests before us all the time. We want to wrestle in our own sets of rules and all these different things, but really when it boils down to it, the Lord is asking us, do you love me? Just as he did Peter. Do you love me speaks, no, I should do this. There we go. Speaks of the essence of relationship with God. I think it's a bottom line thing. The two words that are used in this passage, the two Greek words, which I know you all are sitting on the edge of your chairs wanting to know the Greek. But there is significance here because there's two different words used by the Lord and by Peter. One is agape, which is only found in the Christian realm. It is not a classical Greek word. The second one is philia, which is basically expressed as feeling or tender affection. The agape speaks of action, value, esteem. You will note if you study a bit in the Word of God that God never speaks of his son or his love for his son using anything but agape. I know that the father would have affection for the son, but so big, so huge is that agape love that God expresses his love to man and to Jesus only utilizing that word. In the first two questions, and again, Jesus asks Simon or Peter three times, do you love me? In the first two, Jesus uses that word agape. Again, it speaks of value and esteem. Do you value me, Peter? Do you esteem me, Peter? Actually, in the first one, it would be more of the esteem because he says more than these. Do you love me more than these? Now, there's been everybody that's ever written any kind of a commentary has given their opinion as to what he was talking about there. Was he talking about all the fish that they drove in? Some that were already on the fire that Jesus had cooking when they arrived? Or was he speaking of the other men that were there? Or was he speaking of the whole world? But the application is the same. Peter, do you love me more than all of this? Folks, you know, that's the beginning of our Christianity. That's the beginning, and that's the end of it. Do you love the Lord God more than all of these, than everything else? Here's the irrefutable truth. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. You're familiar with it. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So that acceptance of Christ into our life and the identification and the power of the Holy Spirit within us puts us into the place where the very presence and power of God is in us. We are lovers of God and we are lovers of others. You see, God loves. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. I love that word, lavished. It seems so very appropriate. It's not just enough, it's more than enough. Lavished. That we should be called the children of God, and that's what we are. Peter says, John says. Love is at the center of God's expectation for those who would belong to Him. In other words, He doesn't just love us, but He has an expectation of love from those that are His. So you see, it is not just the acceptance of His love, but it is that presence of love in our lives that enables us and causes us to love other people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's pretty much everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. I've always been taken back by what he used as a comparison. He doesn't say, which he could have, love your neighbor like I do. You ever notice that? I mean, really, that would have been a very appropriate and powerful statement if Jesus would have said, love your neighbor the way I love your neighbor. And that would have set the goal extremely high. But he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Because he knows if there's one person in the whole wide world that we will take care of, it's going to be ourselves. Think about that. You can kind of ponder that on. But I think it's an incredible truth. So, do you love me speaks of the essence of relationship with God. The second thing is, I went backwards. I keep hitting that. Here we go. Do you love me speaks of the nature of Christian life. Listen to how Paul defines it, and many of you know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I really think that we should keep this one before us. In some way, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 to 8, needs to be where we see it all the time. Because again, everybody has their own definition of love. Just little nuances to make it specifically ours. But this is the agape love that God has for us and that we should have for others. Listen, love is patient. Let's do something this morning. You can participate in this message. If one of these kind of strikes you a little bit, just go, or, oh, okay? Come on, you can participate. Are you ready? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. That's my deaf ear. Great expectations there. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I left one out. Do you know what it is? What's that? Keeps no record of wrongs. Do you love me? He didn't say to Peter, he said, do you have a kind affection toward me, Peter? He said, do you love me with a love that's patient? That's kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Come on, Peter. Do you love me? In other words, beyond your capability. Can we be honest in here today that in our flesh, it really is impossible to keep all of those? Come on. You can't be honest here. You can't be honest. In our flesh, that one's impossible. It is only as the love of God is flowing through us. Now keep in mind, God loves us first with this kind of love. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love never fails. Wow. It's exemplified by Jesus. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. John 15, 35. Love each other as I have loved you. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, or while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. You see, the previous verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 show us a more excellent way. Listen to what he says. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, a bunch of noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Wow. This is the more excellent path that we're looking at this morning in the Christian life, is to be people who love God the way he loves them and loves other people with that same love. I think that's the miracle of Christian faith. I believe that the joy in Christian faith rests there. When I return love back to God as he has given it to me, then I really can walk in relationship with him, know the truth, have the freedom, walk in the peace, know the joy that passes all understanding. It's all right there as that love flows. You know, come on, believers, you know when you step out of that. Whether in word or deed, you know when you step out of the shower of that love. Henry Ward Beecher, 19th century preacher, very well known, said, "We never know how much one loves till we know how much he's willing to endure and suffer for us." It is the suffering element that measures love. The characters that are great must of necessity be characters that shall be willing, patient, and strong to endure for others. To hold our nature in the willing service of another in the divine ideal of manhood, or is the ideal of manhood, or of human character. In other words, the best person that you can possibly be will be the person that you can be as the love of God is flowing through you. The best husband, the best wife that you can be is the person, the married person, who is allowing the love of God to flow through your marriage. I back up one more time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Tell me that won't make a great marriage when you allow that kind of love to flow into where you are considering the other person more than yourself. See, when it's done in love, I don't think it's even called sacrifice. Do you love me is the only proper call to service. Love is the prerequisite to serving the Lord. Not guilt, not shame, not pressure. Only love. Do you love me more than these? Jesus said. Let's separate everything out from our relationship. And then he concludes it with, feed my lambs. Now, a lot has been made over the lambs and the sheep and all that kind of business, but what he's doing is he is restoring him to service. And he's doing it through their love relationship. He said, Peter, can I count on my love that I have exemplified? Can I count on that love flowing through you to other people? Or is it going to just stop at you? You see, I think that's the premier question. We need to say, am I serving the Lord? Why am I serving the Lord? If I'm serving the Lord because I love the Lord, then so much fades away. Expectations fade away. Guilt fades away. Nothing is there except the pure desire to give esteem to the one who has given love to me. In kingdom service, no other motive besides love will sustain us. A long time ago in ministry, I'm not saying I never do this, but I'm always very reluctant to ask somebody to do something in the kingdom. I will present the opportunity, I'll let people know that it is there, but there's no life in it if you do it for me. Well, pastor asked me to. It's not good. It's not enough. I would rather let you know that here's a need and pray over you that the Spirit of the Lord would speak into you and draw you in love to our children, to the hurting, to those in need, whatever it might be, to our visitors walking in the door for the first time. Because you love the Lord Jesus, you are motivated that you want to serve those that are reaching out to know him. Because see, then, you know, love never fails. There's no question, there's no fatigue. Fatigue does not govern when love is involved. Let me give you an example. Take mothers who are exhausted and yet continue to labor until her family's been cared for, and then she rests. Why? Because of love. That child that cries and cries and cries and cries and cries. I remember Katie. Yeah. Why do you put up with it? Why don't you just rent them out or something? Because you love them. Folks, let me tell you, that's the best way to serve the Lord. I'm standing before you today after, well, really 50 plus years of ministry because I love Jesus. I love you. His love in my heart. I can tell you this. You'll probably have a better preacher. You may have somebody, you probably will have somebody that you like more. But you will never have anybody that loves you more than I do. That's my challenge. Whenever I have the opportunity to meet your next pastor along the way, which I will have, we won't talk about problems or difficulties or anything else or any individuals. My statement to them will be as it has been in pastors I left behind in the churches that I pioneered, love them. Love them. Some are better at expressing their love than others, but it has to be the premier and only reason that we serve the Lord. In my meeting with young pastors, I meet with about 5 of them every month or when we can. And I'm trying to pound this into them. because they start resenting different aspects of ministry. You're doing it for the wrong motive, the wrong reason. Let the love of God flow into your life and then serve Him out of that relationship. Whatever it is, if it's painting a wall, scrubbing a toilet, or if it's standing or kneeling by a bedside when somebody's dying, it's got to be in love. Now, see, I can't take you to where you're at in your life, so I have to take you to where I'm at in mine, okay? But it's true in your life too. Those of you that are singing, if you're doing it for any other reason besides the fact that you love the Lord, and that is flowing out of love, then whatever you're presenting will be imperfect. Love fights for the right to serve. I believe this. I believe that those who have the love of God in them, that's flowing in them, they've got to serve. They will find a place of ministry within the body of Christ. They will be serving other people. You cannot say, I'm walking in the love of God and doing nothing in His kingdom. Those two things just don't fit. Now, I'm not trying to lay a heavy load on you. I'm wanting to lift one off of you. The only reason that you should be ministering in this church family is because of the love of God, an overwhelming sense of what He has done for you and His love in your life should stand you up and say, I've got to be serving others. Now, let me take you to the extreme, and then we'll say the amen to this today. Are you ready for the extreme of the love within a Christian life? You've heard it was said, Jesus said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends His rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect or mature, therefore, as your Father is perfect. He loves those that hate Him. This is a place that we can walk as Christians, as we recognize the love flow of God in our lives. Then whatever offense that someone else has done against us, to us, against our families or whatever, all of that falls away. It's no longer important because of His love flowing in our lives. Can I tell you, Christians? How many call themselves Christians? Christ-like? Hello? Can I tell you, Christians? This is one of the tests. There are tests throughout the word so that you and I could tell where we're at in the flow of God's word in our lives. This is one of the tests. When someone speaks against you, when somebody does something against you, when they take your spot at the parking lot at Walmart, are you able to release that? Or do you have to talk about it all morning, call 16 people, let them know that somebody took your spot? Can you believe I'm getting ready to pull in? Huh? I know, I tried to go to the most innocent thing that I could possibly think of. But you know as well as I do that people will offend us. And the question becomes, what will you do with it? Can you release it? You say, well, that is so hard. Well, just remember what the Lord Jesus released you from. I would imagine that just about all of us had a pretty good stack of things, offenses against him. And he piled them all up and he poured blood over them. And he said, I'll remember them no more. And his love never failed. Before we conclude here this morning, I just would ask you, check your heart right now. Are there individuals in your life, as a Christian, that you refuse to release? You refuse. He didn't just say, well, just ignore them and maybe they'll go away. He said, agape them. That is, love them with the same kind of love that I love you. Would you agree with me? That's kind of tough. That's kind of messy. How many will agree it's hard? Yeah. I've told this to boards and different people. many years ago, in Madison, I had a board member who was intent on wanting to bring in one of the theological things of the day, hyperfaith. And he could not understand why I would not go down that path, why I wouldn't preach it. And he got so worked up in the middle of the board meeting that he climbed up on my desk. I just had a very small office, but we met around the desk. And he was so invigorated, so angry that I would not adopt the speak of the day, that he's up on my desk on all fours, about this far from my face, yelling at me and telling me I'm out of control. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I can tell you a lot of stories. Just loving that brother. He ultimately lost his family over that whole mess, because they wouldn't go the journey with him. And God brought us back together about 10 years later. And he comes running over to me. He's like, not knowing what I was going to do. And I grabbed him and hugged him. He said, oh, I wasn't sure how you were going to. I said, I love you, brother. That's not Bill McKee. That's the love of God. Folks, come on. We have an opportunity here to show people our faith. We have an opportunity here to really make Christianity in our lives something more than just waiting either for the rapture or for death. It's today. It's living today in the love of the Lord. Last question. Do you love me? Jesus says. And that goes out to every one of us. Do you love me? Then have the rest of your life. If you love the Lord, if you truly love the Lord, then it's going to come through in every single thing that you do. Even loving your enemies. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that once again you've given us the privilege of bringing our hearts together for a few moments to spend a little time worshiping you, praying over Ronan, hearing the testimonies of these precious kids whose lives have been affected by your power. And Lord, to snuggle up to your word and realize again what you have for us as believers. A most peculiar, glorious life. We live in a world that practices the opposite of everything you've described to us as love. Self-centered, keeping record of wrongs, rejoicing in evil. God, help us as your church, as Christians, help us to be a different lot. Help us to love the way you love. May we return your love to you. And may we love others as you have loved us. To your glory, to your praise, to your honor, because it all comes from you, because you are love. In Jesus' name. I need to ask this question. Is there anybody here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus? You've never said, Lord Jesus, there's sin in my life. I've been owning my life. I've been taking care of myself, and it's not enough. I want to know you as my Savior. I want to make you the Lord of my life. Is that somebody's heart here this morning? Just slip up your hand, because I want to pray with you. It would be my greatest joy, greatest honor of the whole day, would be to pray with you that Jesus would come into your heart. Is there anyone? Stand with me, please. How many are glad to be Christians? Amen. Don't walk out of here today saying that I put a heavy load on you. The heavy load is carrying around some wrong that somebody did to you. The heavy load is trying to work out life by yourself. Man, give God a chance. He can do more with you and me than we could ever do on our own. Father in heaven, I pray your blessings over these folks. Love on them. Minister to them. Bless them. Encourage them. May you shower on their lives blessings that they can see and know that as they're walking in you, it's the best life that they can possibly have. Help us, O Lord, with the difficult parts to release those who have offended us so that we can walk free in the power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a great week.